Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, the Wi-Fi worked for once in our life. All right, this is episode 70. We get into some actual football talk around 13, 14 minutes, but a pretty good, funny conversation to open up the podcast. A lot happened in this one. Sit back and enjoy. We pumped out like 40-some minutes, so let's have a day.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 70 of the podcast. We got on here tonight, and I didn't really know what I was going to say in the intro. And then Kluver asked Kevin the dumbest question of all time, and he said, you know, I don't know if Kevin, do you even have bets for this weekend since the Hawks aren't playing? And Kevin and I were both laughing hysterically because obviously Kevin, being a degenerate, is going to bet championship weekend, maybe even harder than he's bet any weekend yet because it's the last one he can hammer for a while. So this guy's honestly probably he's trying to get this in like a heroin overdose. And Kluver's sitting in his living room think that he's being a little virgin this week. That's not how we roll in degenerate land. When there's chances to hammer, you hammer. And I personally think you hammer Baylor +8 against Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship, but we'll get there later in the episode. I don't have any Hawkeye shit to talk about in the intro, except for I really hope Keith can win this Groza thing. That would be badass. Let's get into it.
Georgia has bots for sure. I'm fully convinced. Obviously everyone who has been there and voted, thank you guys so much. I can't imagine that there's another year that this has gone on where, the fans can vote and there's been this many votes between two fan bases. I am fully convinced though, because of the way the voting has gone, every time Keith has gotten the lead, all of the sudden there's been this rush of votes. It just doesn't make any sense. I also searched on Twitter a fair amount and there was not even 5% of the campaigning for the Georgia kicker from their fan base as there was for Keith. And so I'm convinced that they're cheating. That's okay. All the real votes should count, will count a lot more, and Keith should win those votes. If he doesn't, The walk-ons might just drive to wherever the head of that committee lives and burn his house down.
Listen to me, man. I don't have – I'm off the grid. I'm off the grid. Nobody knows where I'm at except for all of you guys. And I think that Hawkeye Nation is a faithful one. And you guys won't snitch on me. And we can put this podcast in the archives. And, yeah, if Keith doesn't win this award – I've got some time on my hands and some things might be done.
Now, the reason that I was a little, you know, my brain went a little befuddled, a little confused, didn't know if Kevin would have bets or not, should have assumed that he would, but I was just so jumbled because before we hit record, you really had to make me think, you told me that you were basically pre-gaming Five Guys milkshakes with bomb pops, popsicles.
No. I'm pre-gaming a Five Guys peanut butter banana milkshake with a watermelon fruit pop.
Right. So as an adult, a 25-year-old, it just confuses me a little bit. But I guess that's part of adulting is you get to make those decisions. You can basically do whatever the hell you want.
When I woke up this morning and I took a shit, I was the one that wiped my ass. So I'm the one that gets to decide what I eat.
Okay.
And Drake, you have just won the award for the absolute filthiest thing that we have said on the podcast to date.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Hey man, I'm just here to give the people what they want.
Let me clarify. Fucking no one wants to hear about you wiping your ass after a Five Guys burger and shake.
Dude, you know what sounds good though is a Five Guys burger and shake.
Oh, sounds fucking elite.
Des Moines has had one for about a year now, maybe a little more. I'm not sure on that timeline, but somewhere around there. And I'm real glad that we added it because the next closest one was like the border, I think, or maybe even deeper into towards Chicago. Little expensive, but it's worth it. And those milkshakes are just unreal. Speaking of what the fans want, what do the fans want?
The fans want to hear me tell a little fairy tale.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that. Kevin, did you get a chance? You have a much more, like, even though I have a real job, you have, like, a much more real job. And so usually how it goes for those listening right now is Drake and I will just flood our Washed Up Walk-On's three-man group chat with 95% bullshit. And Kevin never responds. He's just like in surgeries
you guys are muted like 80% of the day. I'm not gonna lie.
Right. And then Kevin comes back and reads like 86 messages between me and Drake at the end of the day. So I don't know if Kevin got a chance to catch up with it. Basically earlier today I sent out a tweet. We are quickly and unfortunately approaching the off season of college football, and you know, that's a sad thing. Obviously, when we're in season, we have a lot of content to talk about. We can easily pump out two episodes a week. We could probably do more if we really wanted to dive into some of the stuff that we just don't necessarily enjoy as much to talk about. But in the off season, and we realized this last year, we kind of, and granted, we were still in the growing phases. We weren't even a year old as a podcast.
We had absolutely no idea how to even make a pre-schedule.
Right. And we ran out of – there was definitely some times where we ran out of stuff to talk about, and you guys – thankfully, for some reason, you guys just were able to sit through basically an hour of catching up on our lives over the past week since the episode previous. So – we know that that's not really the point of this podcast.
Okay, Kluver, I'm going to stop you up. Drake, are you really planning on telling this fucking story right now? I'm sorry, I'm just reading through this text message right now.
Oh, so you're just now reading through
it. I'm just now reading through it, and I hope to God he does not read this on the air.
Why? Okay, so we're getting there. So, point of that being, in the off season this year, and moving forward, really, when we're not in season, we obviously want to focus on guest episodes. I think that's what you guys as fans enjoy the most. That's the feedback that we've gotten. We honestly enjoy doing those episodes the most. The content simply just creates itself. We actually have to, honestly, like, we haven't had a guest yet where we had to push for a full hour. Obviously, George went for, I think, 90 minutes, and so did Ike. James went for over an hour. We almost have to pull back on the content because it's just like, we just don't have enough time. That's not going to be the case. We hope that's not the case this off season. We want to go as long as we can with as many people as we can, and so we're planning on trying to get, don't hold us to this because, again, we're not a professional podcast. We can't fly people into our studio, which is non-existent, and just like pay for them to come on our show. But we want to try and get at least one guest a week, and we want to continue to do two episodes a week. And so in that second episode, we want to fill it with good content. And whether that's a second guest, if we're able to be that lucky for the week, or other stuff, that's what I sent a feeler tweet out for. And someone responded with that they want Drake to just tell like classic fairy tale stories, or I'm not sure the exact wording, in his own way, and just let him rip on it. And so me and Drake were making a funny mock conversation of what that would sound like, Little Red Riding Hood, in our group text. And it was,
yeah, that wasn't going to be exactly the one I was going to tell. I was more going to say that I'm not a big fan of the Big Bad Wolf. I think that the Big Bad Wolf is a pretty big pussy, because if it was me, if I was the Big Bad Wolf and there were three pigs and myself and my wolf pack were hungry, I don't think I would let a pig's makeshift house stop me from getting to a meal. But that's just me if I'm the Big Bad Wolf. But I, you know, from the stories that I've been told, I think that he, yeah, he's a bitch. He's the little wolf that couldn't.
Okay. Kev, I think the fans honestly like you the most, to be honest. It's probably because you don't, probably not. I think they like hearing Drake say crazy shit, but I think if they had to pick a favorite on the podcast, it might be you.
Would it be fair to say the least hated?
Yeah, probably, yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know how many people really can hate Kluver, because he's the guy that makes this thing run, you know? Because if it was up to you and me, Kev, there would be no podcast. And
that's true. I have to be the bad guy in that sense as well, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We wouldn't have, I mean, a lot of times, these people, yeah, for this long.
Sure. But Kev, some of the other suggestions were that if every once in a while we do fucking movie reviews on the podcast.
I like it.
Which I think would be funny if we did like once a month or once every couple.
That would be a lot of fun.
Once every couple months, we all decide like, hey, let's all watch a movie and then share our opinions on it. I think that would actually be funny as hell.
All right, about it.
Some of the other stuff was cool too. They want to hear about recruiting, and there's some other things I wrote down. So there's plenty of stuff. I think we're going to be able to fill this off season. I already wrote out a mock schedule, and I actually have it pulled up. I'm looking at it right now. And if we can actually come through on this schedule, man, the first 4 weeks right after the bowl game are going to be hot. Just,
yeah, listen,
hot.
we have a hot lineup coming out of the bowl game.
Man, I'm excited. I'm really excited. Anyway, so thanks for the participation on Twitter for anyone who responded. Continue to respond, or just tweet at me or DM me if you guys have any more ideas. That would be funny. There were some other ones that I'm not going to pull up because it would break this up and we'd be sitting here for a second. But that's basically what happened today. So again, I've just completely shocked myself. I don't understand how we just talk for 13 minutes and we actually haven't said a single fucking thing worth listening to. Don't know who in their right mind continues to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, but Kevin showed up with creme de la creme this is fine evening.
Creme de la creme.
And it got me in the mood to talk a little shit. So here we are 13 minutes in, and we can really give these people a pretty fun time.
Yeah, so creme de la creme, I don't know if that's just an ode to yourself, Kevin, or if we're talking about the actual creme de la creme, the cream that has risen to the top of the two sides of the conference, multiple conferences, in fact. The best two teams for each conference are going to play each other this weekend.
Yeah, let's say it's the second thing that you said.
Okay. it kind of works. We won't go into the first option as an ode to yourself. Maybe when this podcast is about 4 or 5 years deep and we're really searching for content, we'll enter that realm.
No, we will never. We will never enter that realm.
If you ever quit the podcast,
if you ever go to the Village Inn in Iowa City and you are paying at the register, just observe. Just observe.
So anyway, let's start with the. Let's actually start with the other championship game so that we can finish with what probably most people that listen to this talk about or care about. So let's talk about what you kind of introed with, Drake, the Baylor Oklahoma game, which has it has significance in the playoff, right?
Oh,
like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Has huge significance.
Yeah, the winner of that game is definitely probably the fourth in, or would Georgia take that spot?
So
nah, Georgia's gonna get beat.
Assuming Georgia loses to LSU, it's either the winner of the Big 12 championship or
the Pac-12.
It's Utah if they beat Oregon. Correct. And I don't think it's really gonna be an easy pick between those three, assuming, you know, honestly, I think it'd be Baylor, because Baylor's only loss would be to Oklahoma, a team that they just beat, and a team who would still be ranked in the top 12. So,
yeah,
I think you're right. I think the winner of that game gets in, assuming Georgia loses. Now, if Georgia beats LSU, the whole thing goes to shit, and I have no idea.
Yeah, because
LSU's still in, and Georgia and LSU, Georgia will go to 3, LSU to 4. And then,
really, you think so?
Yeah, then they'll meet again in the championship if it so happens.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It'd be pandemonium.
Ohio State would be obviously the number one. I probably am on your side, both your sides with this one. I don't think Georgia is going to. Man, I don't know though. Sometimes championship games are weird. I don't think Georgia will touch LSU. I think it'll be. I honestly think it'll be a 10-point-plus game. But if they win, that you're right, Kev, that'll throw a wrench in the gears. Baylor, Oklahoma,
Big 12 championship. Those guys played earlier in the year. Baylor got off to a big lead and ended up blowing it.
Choke City.
Yeah. Oh, it was rough. I don't know, man. Baylor's been kind of like a tough team to get like your finger on, in my opinion. They've played some bad teams really close. They've blown out some other teams, and you know they got up big versus Oklahoma. They gave it up. Like they're getting 8 points, but I just don't know. I don't know. Drake loved the line. I was really tempted, but I almost felt like it was.
Too
like
good
a
to
trap,
be true,
you know. Because Oklahoma can sometimes just score points at will, so I actually didn't bet that game this week, but I think
Oklahoma has this Achilles.
I think Baylor. I'm actually going to say Baylor wins.
Wins the game.
Wins.
Okay, you heard it here first.
So yeah, I mean Baylor plus 8, guys. If Kevin's just sitting here on the mic saying they're gonna win it, Baylor plus 8, go ahead, pull your meat out and hammer it.
I'm also okay. Gonna know. I didn't bet it, so I got a weird feeling about it though. That's just
how. Okay, just before we move on, I'm just sitting here. I'm 25 years old. We're all 25. Kevin, you're not 25 yet.
No.
Yes, you are.
I'm not.
No, you're not.
12-12.
Birthday's always good.
Pocket queens cost me a lot of money.
And I'm just sitting here, and somehow we've come into a situation where to thousands of people, Drake just said the words, pull your meat out and hammer it. We are talking to...
I completely just because we're so used to Drake, I completely forgot about, you know, the fact that we're talking to a bunch of people and he's just being a disgusting human being.
Like, because legitimately what we're doing right now is basically the equivalent of if you took... if you took, like, a big high school football stadium and filled that sumbitch, and then we were out at the 50-yard line and just talking to everybody. And Drake said
the whole crowd
to pull their meat out and hammer it. So that's where we're at in life.
This is one of the funniest segments we've ever done. I can't breathe.
That might turn into its own segment alone. That might just be our betting segment. Ward's winners might be a second place name now. It's time for Pull Your Meat Out and Hammer It. It's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Keith Duncan for the win. If you haven't voted, go vote for Keith Duncan.
Oh, shit.
Wait, no. The voting ends and you won't hear this. Son of a bitch. If you didn't vote, you're not a Hawkeye fan.
If you didn't vote at least five times, you mean?
Yeah, every day. So that was our thoughts on the Baylor-Oklahoma. I really don't know. I probably am not with those two guys. I think they cover... Man, it's going to be close to eight. I think they cover eight. Yeah. So then you have Georgia LSU. What are your guys' thoughts on that game? Do you think Georgia will be close? Or?
I mean, Georgia's a good team. They play great defense. The offense just hasn't been there all year long. And I think LSU is just going to outpace them. I mean, LSU's defense isn't great, but they're good. And Georgia has struggled against good defenses. So I think LSU will still be able to put up some points and – I just don't see Georgia being able to hang around with them, so I like them covering the seven.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm pretty much with the analysis that the LSU offense is just too much. Their run game is pretty filthy. They've got a couple running backs that just don't go down, and then Joe Burrow is going to win the Heisman because he's just been absolutely dynamite. Their receivers are probably the best receiving corps in the country, other than Alabama's maybe. It's just too many things to stop. They cover seven probably pretty easily.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I want it to be a really good game. I just don't think it's going to be as good as it could have been.
Right. I agree there with both you. I think it's a two-score game. And I don't follow... I probably should. We do this fucking podcast about college football, and it's mostly about Iowa. I follow Iowa plenty closely. I don't follow other teams as closely as I really could. I watched LSU play Auburn, or maybe somebody else, and I was just watching, and I was... Burrow, what he has done this year, and obviously it's why he's a Heisman front runner probably, is... I mean, Nate Stanley goes for 22 touchdowns the last couple years. I don't know how many has this year, maybe like 16 or something like that. And that's really, really good for a quarterback to throw in the 20s. 20 some touchdowns in a year, close to 30. Burrow's got 45. I mean, how do you defend that? I mean, you don't. Yeah,
you just don't do that. That's filthy. I mean, he set the SEC record. He is Mr. LSU for the rest of eternity. Like, there's going to be a Joe Burrow statue at LSU. He spelled Burrow like go Tigers on senior night. Like, this dude is forever Mr. LSU. And yeah, you just can't stop him. It's just his year.
He should have came out with a goat on the back of his uni and go spelled like GEAUXT goat.
Yeah, but see, that would have been way more.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify.
one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app, search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify, or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Are arrogant, the Burrow spelled go, I think was a nice classy touch.
Yeah. When they win the Natty, he'll put a t-shirt on that says goat, like spelled
that out. He can do.
That'd be lit. All right. So then that leaves us with the ACC championship. I don't even know who's playing Clemson.
Clemson over Virginia. Clemson covers by whatever. A million.
Yeah, by 3 or 4 million, maybe. That one's worthless.
It's a conference championship game. The spread was 29. Like, that just shows you how bad the ACC is.
It's bad.
It's bad. It's bad, dude.
They're in a bad spot. I don't know how they're.
But then Clemson comes out of there and just saves them.
Right. I mean, it's their only saving grace. If they didn't have Clemson in that conference, they might disband it and make the teams join other places.
It used to be Florida State.
Top to bottom, like, the American Athletic Conference is better than the ACC. Tell me it's not.
Yes. Navy, no, Memphis, you're right.
Yeah, SMU.
It's a lot deeper.
Yeah.
Houston, and that leaves Cincinnati. Us with, like, yeah, I mean, Houston and Cincy are dangerous teams. Like, you catch them on the wrong night and you're screwed. That leaves us with the Pac-12, Oregon, Utah. And I personally, just to keep them, maybe it's I don't know. It's a weird mindset, but it's just my feelings, and I'm going to talk them into the mic. I personally hope Oregon beats Utah so that there's no like, oh, should Utah be in? I just don't think they deserve to be in. And then that way it's just taken care of. And
I mean, what do you want Utah to do, man? They if they win this game, they'll have won 12 games and won a conference championship with their one loss to a solid USC team. I mean, do you think that is not a better resume than a loss to a solid Kansas State team, or like what's your argument there?
I don't really have one on paper. I think just for me personally, eye test.
See, for me, being that I don't think that the fourth team in is going to do that good of a job competing.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there, but I mean, still, I mean, you gotta give okay. the right fourth team the shot. I think still.
I think that if Utah wins, that is the most intriguing, because that's the most outside the box matchup that we could get. Like, Oklahoma's been in there and gotten beat. Like, Utah hasn't been in there. They look really good. If they beat Oregon, that's showing that they're playing really well also. So I would like to see Utah in there just because it would be a fun matchup and maybe see what the Pac's got.
It'd be interesting.
And as far as eye test, Clue, they've been rolling some people. They've been winning by a lot too. Their defense is one of the best in the country.
Yeah,
and
that's the part about Utah that intrigues me, is they have the
massive. They've been covering spreads, man. Defense. They've been good against the spread.
Good against the spread, and that's all a degenerate can hope for, right?
Good teams win. Great teams cover, and Utah has been covering.
That's a famous quote. That's maybe the quote of our podcast.
Over, pull out your meat and hammer it.
Yeah, just pull out your meat and hammer it. Damn it, I had something in my head that I was going to say.
I wish I would have made that quote last podcast. That would have been way funnier.
There could be one hell of a t-shirt with that on it, with a special, special design, I'm sure. With like a butcher on the front, that'd be great. God damn it, we brought that quote
back. The Big Ten Championship, man.
Yeah, I was going to get there, but there was something else. The Big Ten Championship. I know, real quick. So are you guys still, just to bring it up, you guys still 4-18 playoff? And I guess this year it would look like most likely, regardless of the SEC championship, Georgia would be getting in. I think obviously the winner of the Big 12 and the Pac 12 are both in. And then,
yeah. So just before you go and name off every team, I think Power Five, each champion gets an automatic bid. You give one to the group of six, whoever's ranked highest in the group of six, that's usually going to be the winner out of the American Athletic Conference. And then two at-large bids.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I still think that's the best way to do it.
I do too.
I also like it the best because it gives the opportunity for a Cinderella story. Like, everybody has a ton of fun during March Madness because it does happen. Upsets can happen. Yeah. And in football, it's kind of a little more chalk because sometimes a team is just dominant and you just see it like you just got more dog in you and it is what it is. But I like the idea of everybody gets a shot. And if you win your conference, let's go see if you can win it all.
Yep.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's still exclusive enough to not diminish the importance of the regular season. That's absolutely what makes college football the best sport to watch, is because how important the regular season is. You lose a regular season basketball game, you know, not that big a deal. You lose a regular season game in the NFL, you still can make the playoffs. You lose two regular season games in college football, and
you're out.
You're out. So that's what makes every game so important. That's what I love so much about college football. The only argument I'd have against my own desire to have an 8-team playoff is that if you're not in the top four, you're
not one of the best teams.
Like you're probably not one of the best teams in the country. I mean, look at it this year. I mean, it's three teams. It's Ohio State, it's LSU, yep, it's Clemson. I'll be shocked if one of those teams isn't the national champion at the end of the year, because I think they're just far and away a class above the rest of the field.
Oh, if there was a bet, Ohio State, Clemson, or LSU is the national champion, and the other side of that bet, or any other team, I'm putting everything I own and everything my neighbors own on those three teams.
And guess what? You're not going to make that much money off of it because it's almost a guarantee.
It's going to be, I'll make like a quarter of what I put down. I agree. So then that leaves us with the Big Ten Championship. We've got the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Wisconsin Badgers. And I would love to see a close game. I think it's definitely possible. I don't think it's probable. I think this Buckeye team is, and I have another interesting point to bring up here that's hypothetical. But
how about this point? Urban Meyer can still eat my meat.
Okay. A lot of meat in this episode.
That was funny.
He's not coaching for the Buckeyes anymore. Ryan Day is. Pretty sure he was given Coach of the Year, which is pretty
bullshit. Before we do that, let's just highlight the awards this Big Ten Awards. How about our man Keith Duncan getting Kicker of the Year in the Big Ten, and our big man Tristan Wirfs, Offensive Lineman of the Year,
which is so legendary.
Huge.
And whenever the time comes that we have Tristan Wirfs on this podcast, there is going to be a funny story that gets told between Tristan and I that you guys will appreciate, but we'll save that one for whenever the time comes.
Here's a quick fact for the last three winners that have come from Iowa for the Offensive Lineman of the Year in the Big Ten. Those three people would be Brandon Scherff, Brian Bulaga, and Robert Gallery. So, Tristan, congrats to your bank account, bud. Congrats. Fucking congrats, man. You're set.
Yeah, it feels so good.
Must be nice. I'm podcasting for free. Hey.
Yeah, he deserves it, though.
He does. He does. He's a freak that has taken advantage of everything. And every potential that he has, Doyle has
just
helped a lot
with
that.
Just a Bush Light drinking monster.
Yes, and he obviously has led our offensive line. He's been probably the main piece there for 2-3 years now. And just can't wait to see him play in the next level whenever that happens. Very potentially could be after this year. We'll definitely podcast about it if and when that happens. And then, yeah, we had – so those two were the players of the year at their position. And then we had a bunch of other second-team honorable mentions. A.J. Jackson made third team. Nate Stanley, honorable mention. Amir Smith-Marset. We had
– Gino.
Gino.
O.J.
A.J. was first team.
O.J.
OJ was on there, bunch of guys. So it's good to see the guys get rewarded. I know that's a lot of people at the beginning of the season, they make those individual goals. They want to be all Big Ten. Something, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm going to do it real quick. There is no all Big Ten long snapper, but I discovered this the other day that our senior year, I was actually the second team all Big Ten long snapper. So,
Wait, I thought you just said there was no All Big Ten list.
So
there was no All Big Ten shit talking list either. But if there was, I put myself on the first team.
You probably would be. So there's no official list that the Big Ten comes out with, but Phil Steele, who does a bunch of like,
Phil Steele.
Yeah, he does basically everything. Anything involved with college football, he comes out with lists and all that. And I was second team. Somehow to the Indiana long snapper, who I think it had to do with the fact that his kicker was the first team kicker that year. I'll take it. I'll take that kid in a fight, a CrossFit workout, Rubik's Cube competition. I don't care. Any day.
Was that your homie, Kevin?
No, it wasn't Josh.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But anyway.
Did you guys actually know that was named the first team All-American Savage Back by a list that I just wrote down on a piece of paper?
From a committee of one.
Yeah.
Congrats. Yeah,
first team All-American. How about that?
So,
People forget that, man. People forget that.
You're a first team, or you're second team by a committee of one, but me and Kevin are both first team by a committee of one. So you're a first team committee of one loser.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I'll take it. Give me your guys' thoughts on this Big Ten matchup. It was a 30 or so point game when they played in the regular season. I think Wisconsin's gotten better, but I don't think Ohio State has lost a step at all. They just seem to be more dominant with every single win that they rack up. I don't know if this is going to be competitive.
So the last time they played, Wisconsin was able to keep it close for like 2.5 quarters. Their defense played pretty well. And Ohio State was kind of slowed down because it was a really rainy day. So their offense wasn't running at full steam. And then they kind of just took off in the third quarter and didn't look back. Ended up being, I think, 38-7 was the final score. Wisconsin plays really good football. They're a physical team. They play discipline, but Ohio State's just got so much talent. It's hard to beat them if they're not on an off day, and it's the Big Ten championship, so you're not going to catch them on an off day, in my opinion. So,
Ohio State has a guy named Chase Young, and I don't think Wisconsin has anybody that can block him.
Surprisingly, though, he didn't do a whole lot versus Michigan.
Yeah,
Chase Young did not have a great day versus Michigan, but he still is probably one of the more freakish humans you'll ever see on a football field. Probably correct. Look to have a big game against Wisconsin, obviously. Yeah, I think Ohio State runs away with this one as well.
We will. So there you go. There's our thoughts. We'll end the podcast with this. A little hypothetical. I saw it on Twitter today.
You got to let Kev give his winners.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that after this because this isn't as important as those. So in a world where TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant stay and Imani Hooker and Anthony Nelson stay, does this year's Iowa Hawkeye football team compete with Ohio State for a Big Ten championship?
Absolutely.
Say it again. The four that left last year, the four juniors that left last year that would have had a senior year this year, Hooker, Nelson, Fant, and Hockenson. If those four stay, does Iowa run the table? And are we looking at a 12-0 versus a 12-0 in the Big Ten championship and a competitive game ahead of us?
You know, it's a great question. Obviously, we're a much improved football team because those guys are playing in the NFL right now against the best athletes in the world. I don't know if we're 12-0, but I think there's no way that we don't win the West with those four guys on our team. So I think we are playing in the championship. Who knows if we're 12-0?
Maybe could we beat Ohio State?
Do we beat Ohio State?
I personally don't think so. I think this Ohio State team is that good.
I mean, odds are against it, in my opinion.
I would say we'd be competitive, though.
Yeah, odds are against it. Man, they are – Ohio State is, like, historically good this year.
Yeah.
This is not the Ohio State team that we beat in 17. This is
– No.
This is a historically good football team. Would the Hawks be amazing with those four guys still on the roster? Absolutely, but there's still some gaps in the roster. I think that
too many.
I still think that team would have ran the table in the regular season.
Definitely,
it's very possible. I mean, I'm saying 11-1, 10-2 at the worst, but probably 11-1, 12-0.
Now, this historic Ohio State team. Did the Kevin Ward bet on the Ohio State Buckeyes this week? Who are the Ward's winners of the week?
You know, man, I sticking with the hot hand, and the Ohio State Buckeyes are a hot bet. I want to say they're like 10-2 or 11-1 versus spread this year. So I like it. I got them at -16 versus the Wisconsin Badgers. I think they will be the last game of the parlay. So yeah, we're doing a four-teamer this week. For championship weekend, it will finish with the Ohio State Buckeyes, who kick off at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. But let's go to an early game we didn't even talk about, the MAC Championship, the Central Michigan Chippewas, I think, versus
with Joel Welsh,
the Miami Ohio Redbirds. I'm going with the what I like to call the Hawks minor league system. Because we got Steve Behrens over there. We got Cox's over there. And then we also got, Joyce. So we have three guys that we play with who are GAing or in the Central Michigan's office, as well as Joel Welsh, who is one of our former assistant strength coaches, now the head strength over there. So I'm taking Central Michigan -6.5 versus Miami.
Absolutely love that logic, man. If Joel Welsh is running the strength program and these guys are playing with the Joel Welsh mentality, whoever lines up across from him is fucked.
I guarantee that if Joel Welsh is running the strength program over there, not a goddamn one of them has been above parallel on a squat since the day he walked in.
How about the tempo squats when Joel was counting, huh?
12 seconds.
1,001. 1,002.
Come on. Sit in there.
1,003.
1,004.
Sit in there.
1,005. All right, drive it up.
Coach, I was just down there for a goddamn minute. I could have had dinner.
Dude, there were some workouts that just while we were in the middle of sets, I was just thinking about how much I hated myself.
Tempo squats were one of them. Man, I'm going Central Michigan. I mean, they've been playing good ball ever since they've started playing in the MAC, so I like them. -6.5, so need to cover a touchdown there. I've already talked about LSU -7. I've already given my analysis there. I like them. Ohio State. And then my fourth teamer is in the middle of the afternoon. It's a 2:30 game. Nope, 12:30 game. And this is one for my man Yonker out there. The Florida Atlantic Owls versus UAB. Florida Atlantic -7. Lane Kiffin, he's a funny dude, and he likes covering spreads. He's pretty good against the spread this year. That's my four teams right there. Let's see if we can't win one for championship weekend. We went 2 of 3 last week with just a brutal loss for Arizona State. only winning by 10. Should have finished that one out. I'm still salty about it, but we're hitting it this week. That's Ward's winners.
And if you want to add one thing on top to Kevin's parlay to get just a little bit feistier, because it's championship weekend, there's four heavyweight championship belts up for grabs on Saturday night. Anthony Joshua, Ruiz 2. Ruiz knocked him out in the first fight. I don't think it's going to happen again. Joshua is not getting that good of odds by himself, but if you throw it on the parlay, it's going to make the parlay just a little bit juicier. And I do think Joshua wins the rematch. I've done a little bit of research on this one. Looking forward to watching it though. So just an idea.
And the question that we leave with is, do I, when I upload this episode, title it "Pull Your Meat Out and Hammer It"?
It's pretty good. Good lead.
Pretty risque.
I did the work for you, man. You either pull the trigger or you don't. Either a shooter and you shoot or you're not.
By the time that they listen to this part of the episode, they'll obviously have already know if I did that or not. So that's it. We thought we might go for like 20 to 30 minutes, and this is our longest in-season episode all year. So there you go.
So pull your meat out and hammer Ward's winners, and let's burn Riverside to the ground.
Burn it down. Walk-ons out. Hawks by a million, as always. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram, too.